Taking your emails and taking your calls. Ignorant and uninformed.
Reason. Hey, look at that. We're recording. I don't know why Ben muted himself just as he started things. But oh, nope. Back again. Nope. You were there for a second. Yeah. Good times. This is the Stellar Entertainment.
That's working. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
No?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you. I can hear you. There is no we.
Delay. I don't know. It was weird. Maybe I'm getting robot-y. I don't know.
No, you seem okay.
Okay. I don't know if it was going on there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Loose cords, you know, connections and cables, all that good stuff.
I didn't even touch anything. I didn't think that time.
You can't.
Maybe I did. Oh, you know, I might have moved it. It might have been that little USB. Anyway. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ignorant Uninformed. America's favorite podcast. We're coming to you live from beautiful Keystone, Colorado and Silverthorne, Colorado, respectively, via the magic of the interwebs. I'm joined by my good buddy, Mr. Max Sarakistan. Sarak.
Yeah, man. Good to be here.
We're down to Jeff, but we do have a Ben Hollywood Whitmore. And the two of us is going to be a two-man operation today. It's going to be weird. Two podcast hosts.
And, it is going to get weird.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't have anything. I have no agenda for talking or anything.
But this is our podcast where we take our topics from you or from our brains, and we talk about whatever we want to for a little bit, for 30 minutes of uninterrupted podcasting gold, thereabouts, give or take. I am on child duty, so if I have to step out, I will do my best to be discreet.
I'm on crockpot duty, so at some point.
Crockpot. I mean, let's get.
I may have to.
Yeah, that is a very important part.
Yeah, man. Well, like that's the thing with chicken. Like in the crockpot, like you can't let it go too long, or it gets like rubbery and stringy and gross. And so there is definitely a sweet spot for the crockpot chicken. And I have blown by that sweet spot plenty of times, and I would rather not do that with this batch of green chili, because it smells real good and I'm excited to eat it, and like stringy gross chicken will entirely ruin it for me. I think.
All right. Well, the census is in. Bambi is too scary, so we're going to switch to Paw Patrol. I will return momentarily.
Oh, all right. Delightful. Bambi is terrifying, I guess. I can't really remember. It's been a long time since I have seen that movie. I mean, I know, like, mom dies, but I don't really. And I think, does the forest burn? Are there hunters? Obviously there's hunters if mom dies. I'm pretty sure she gets shot, but I think the forest might burn too. Again, been a long time since I have checked out the Bambis. And that's funny. This is the second week in a row. We have been doing this podcast. I mean, I think it's going to be 12 years in May, and I 600 and some odd episodes. And I don't think it's been until this week and last week where I have had to be the sole person holding it down for any length of time, which is just strange. It's an odd feeling. Oh, you're muted, but it's sweet of you to try to come back.
No, my microphone keeps disappointing me.
Oh, yeah. And now you're on your AirPods. So if you want to...
Trying to switch back.
Yeah, I hear you.
Something, I gotta shorten the cable somewhere, it's not connected somewhere, I don't know.
People seem like your nemesis.
Apparently, I don't know. I've got my new computer set up, and I didn't want to use, I've got a like a conference mic.
Oh,
but I wanted to use my recording mic for that, so I was like, okay. So that was a bit awkward, but
so much equipment.
Anyway, so apparently we're going to hang out in here in the studio with. Oh, okay. Maybe he's wandering back. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. Sorry to keep giving you the solo, giving you a monologue task, but
It's cool. I should have come with like material prepared in case it happened. But that's cool,
well,
man.
I wasn't particularly. Yeah. Again, the timing what last week was not great.
What is Maddie? Is she just like chilling downstairs on our little dog bed, or is she just like?
Yeah.
Laying on
the
couch?
She's outside right now. I can see her outside.
Yeah, cool.
She's just wandering around. You know, things are starting to melt, so she's starting to like dig around in the yard. And some days she comes in, she's really muddy.
Yeah. I believe it, man.
She finds, you know, but we had so much snow, man. It was crazy. Like the dog could literally just walk through the fence because it was up so high. It was between the two split rails.
Yeah.
So, which we don't have fencing on that top portion, because normally that's 4 feet above the dog's, you know, above the ground.
Yeah.
Not right now. They could literally walk through. I saw a fox like running down the little hill by the outside of the fence.
Yeah.
And then it just literally just like walked right through the fence, almost right over it.
Awesome.
It was crazy.
Good for the water tables though.
Yeah, no, it's good. It was a late season, but they said we're close to the, like a record. Snowpack.
Would you be willing to place your dollar bucks on it being over?
Oh no, it's not over. It's
exactly.
We're gonna get another. You know, May might be a rough month for snow. I think.
Oh, I mean, I feel like it has been lately. We'll see. Like, I feel like, and then June, if June has been anything like the last two Junes, is going to be super overcast and rainy, and people are going to get very cabin fevered because it's June and school's out and it's supposed to be summer. But no, like there have been Ohio. Yeah, what I call them Ohio days, man. Just like low-hanging clouds, clouds all day, rain. And that's been June.
And that's June. June is busting out all over. Well, right now it's March, which is weird. But
because
weird that we're talking, it's weird to talk about June in March. But that's what we do here in Colorado, is all I'm saying. Because we can't wait for the 3 months of summer that we get, which is...
I mean, it usually goes into October. It's like four months.
Yeah. It's nice.
Also nice in the Front Range. I mean, that's what I like getting back from DC and like just like picking up my car. I was like, dude, it's like 70 down here. It's like, man, maybe I just need to go like spend time down here to get warm every once in a while.
Yep. I think I've been thinking about doing that a little more too. You know, my folks are down there and Debbie has a lot of family down there. And every time we go down there, I'm always like, oh, it's so nice. But it just depends on when you go down, because you don't want to go at the wrong time and it take 3 hours to get to Denver.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that doesn't happen. There's only a handful of times where you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would say
more frequently though. Like it just, you know, most of the time, like the weekends, no matter what, if you leave at the wrong time on the weekends, you're going to hit traffic pretty much year round and it's going to be.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes it's next to impossible, right? Like you can't get, like they literally close the roads, or it's just, they close them, they open them again. Another accident happens. They got to close the roads.
Yeah, man.
The interstate is just wild. It's unlike any, like, you know, the portal to the Feywild is a fickle thing.
It's not many ways in.
Yeah. And sometimes that portal is not open for us, and we trap people, you know. It's like Brigadoon shit, you know.
I don't know anything about Brigadoon, but okay.
Oh, well, Brigadoon was a legend, I think from Scotland or something. Maybe Ireland. I can't remember if they're Scottish or Irish.
Some
land up there. But it was like this enchanted city. There's a musical about it that only shows up every 100 years. So, it, you know, like the fog comes in and Brigadoon can be seen for one. And so the musical is about this guy who ends up in Brigadoon when Brigadoon comes back.
Is it
the Moors?
Is it like I mean, obviously, it's like a mythical city, but is it like a paradise, like a la Shangri-La? Is it like the
a little bit? It's a little like in a European musical, equivalent. It's sort of like a quaint, old timey, you know, like maybe not utopian, but a picturesque and antiquated, you know, it's like from the past because they haven't been seen in 100 years. And,
oh, I got you. You know. Yeah. Oh, man, that's got to be rough if.
Yeah. So the guy ends up, you know, of course, he falls in love with the girl, you know.
Of course. How does that go for him?
He stays in Brigadoon, I want to say. Like, he doesn't go back.
Yeah.
He it's like, oh, I'll never see you again, not for 100 years. And you know.
And love and wins.
So, and love wins in the end, I think. It's been a long time since I've seen Brigadoon. There's, you know.
Brigadoon
2.
There's
a famous, like, standard. Yeah, there's there's this thing about Scotland. It's Loch Lomond. Yeah, they're near Loch Lomond.
All right.
Like,
let's hear it.
It says, there's, it goes, maybe the sun gave me the power, for I could swim Loch Lomond and be home in half an hour. Maybe the air gave me the drive, for I'm all aglow and alive. That's the intro. And then the song that everybody knows, what a day this has been, what a rare mood I'm in, why it's almost like being in love.
Okay.
It's a old, it's a standard, you know, a lot of folks did that song, but it's from Brigadoon.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's a bunch in Brigadoon that were pretty popular, but that was the one I remember.
Yeah.
That was, cause that doesn't was, that like... was the one that they always assigned me in music theater class.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, you sang it
with my,
sang it well.
Very, it was very fast. That was, you know, it's supposed to be like, you know, it's a classic Golden Age esque music theater.
Okay.
So it's definitely like, there's definitely an old school feel to that one for sure.
Yeah.
As opposed to.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, when was it written circa?
The 50s or 60s.
Oh, okay. All right. Not later than I thought it would be. But if it was going for that old world, that feel, I can.
Yeah. Get yeah. That. It's like sort of like, you know, a Yankee in King Arthur's court or, you know, that sort of idea is just, you know, a misplaced out of time character learns to appreciate the, you know.
Sure. The simple
fish out of water story. Of exactly. The,
sure. Sure.
It was simpler time back before we had to worry about, you know, world wars and the coloreds.
Well, I mean, like, and to that point, like, isn't it always like the nature of complexity, right? Like, the world is getting more complex. Systems get more complex the longer they go on. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, isn't the past always more simple? I mean, always is a strong word, but.
Yeah.
Oftentimes.
Because things are getting more chaotic, right? At the law of entropy.
Yeah.
So things are therefore also getting more complex. Systems are more chaotic, more complex, more intricate, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's also like, I don't remember, but like the concept of negentropy, like reverse entropy also holds sway. So I think that there is, like, I don't think entropy is the end of the story.
Will it get to a point and then start shrinking back to a singularity? Like,
And
if the universe, so are we tying this in? I'm tying this into quantum physics. If the universe is expanding because of the Big Bang, it was a singularity and is now expanding beyond the speed of light. Mm-hmm. And it's, and there, it is theorized, I think, that at one point that will reverse and it will collapse in on itself well beyond like the existence of everything. But I wonder if the law of entropy would then invert, like as the universe is collapsing in on itself, which again, may be a process that we don't know, takes seconds. It could take billions of years again. Who knows? Time's a construct. It doesn't matter. But at the speed of light, time is irrelevant anyway. So the universe is both ever expanding and ever collapsing in on itself at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
Relative to the speed of light, but I'm just like, would negatropy then be the predominant, like if the universe is condensing again,
is like becoming more ordered,
would it tend back towards order because we're heading back to a singularity? So would like the law of entropy be basically be inverted
if
the universe was closing in on itself.
I promise you that I do not know and can in no way speak with any eloquence on that subject. But I...
Well, actually, time is... Thanks, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
But I mean, his I almost like... The like... I don't know, man. Like, maybe I've read too much Wheel of Time. Maybe I've been too influenced by thinkers that don't come from like our tradition, but like to me it just starts all over again, right? Like there are neither beginnings nor endings. Like whatever, like that the moment after the heat death of the universe is just like the next Big Bang. Or maybe there's like some bit of our math that like we like that changes everything of our understanding of things, because like where we're at now is pretty fucking sweet. And it's awesome. And like, obviously we have figured out a lot, but like that doesn't mean that this is the end point, right? And that like our understanding of how all of this stuff works is complete.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's so much yet that we don't even know about our own planet. 10% of the ocean is mapped or something.
Yeah.
Has been explored.
Although I saw that they definitely want to like do a whole bunch of like mining of like all the elements that we use for our superconductors. Like evidently there's a ton at the bottom of the seafloor that people want to mine.
Oh yeah. Something Elon Musk was talking. He's now got Lithium X, like a mining operation that he's want, with, you know, his family history with mining is not stellar. As far as the human rights things are concerned.
I was going to say, or is stellar, but, depending on how you look at it.
Right. I'm just saying, from a you know human rights perspective and post-apartheid South Africa, you know, sure.
I would argue there's lots of corporate interests that maybe have a checkered past when it comes to human rights and still do.
Absolutely. There's actually a really interesting guy on TikTok. His name is Youth Pastor Ryan. And he has a degree
guitar?
In like cybersecurity. No. He does not play guitar, but the name is not, I mean, he doesn't talk about like youth stuff, but he does like those, you know, hey, you know, Samsung, what do you guys do? And he like plays Samsung. He's like, oh, nothing. We make TVs and blah, blah, blah. And tanks like, you know, there's like, yeah, there was this whole part in the late 1930s and early 1940s that we made things for Germany. And there's like, oh, that's probably fine. And so it's just very funny about, so you learn a lot about the history of like big companies like that have been around a long time. And
sure,
they almost always like end up being like, yeah, we violated, you know, we definitely did some human rights, war crimes or something.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it wasn't until startlingly recently where like anybody cared about human rights, anything.
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly.
You'd
think that as humans, we'd care about at least some human rights, but
we're good about caring about our human rights.
Yeah, yeah,
and the rights of people who look like me and are close to me.
But in the pursuit of the almighty dollar,
yes,
a lot of eyes are averted, gazes are averted in the name of money, profits.
Yes,
but all I'm saying is that, you know, maybe. Hold a slight reservation if Elon Musk asks you to invest in any type of mining operation. I just think.
Or at least check in with your conscience. And if your conscience is like, no, that's cool, man. I don't care where this money comes from. Then like, more power to you.
Blow them up. Yeah, exactly.
And, like, and if it does, then, you know, maybe you should check yourself before you wreck yourself. Mango? I thought they were chips, but I don't hear a crunch, so I assume dried mango.
I'm crunching delicately.
Oh, my God. You are an expert soft eater. That's a good skill, I guess. Do you just have to,
I'm pretending that I just had a filling, so I'm just sort of like...
Gumming it up.
It. Yeah, kind of gumming it a little bit in the top roof of my mouth.
Getting it nice and juicy. Yeah, man.
It's 3:30 in the afternoon. And I realized I did not eat lunch, and these chips are sitting here. Like, and I'm like,
oh, I must. I understand. Well, that's cool, man. I mean, I don't have that much time left.
No, not too much. No, I'd say 10 less, minutes.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, man. Well, I don't know if you can hold off for 10 minutes, but if not,
I can. I don't have to eat anything.
Gorge yourself on those chips.
Gorge yourself on the chips. After damn we it, hang enjoy. Up. Jeez. Oh, man.
Or even like during. I just want to see the dust fly all over your face. I assume. Yeah.
I don't want to subject our listeners to that.
Because I appreciate
it. We have them. I did hear that part where you were talking about our email from
Jeff.
From one of our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's why I want to talk about that, but I want to wait till we have a full complement of hosts.
We're all together. That would be.
But I think it's cool.
That was really cool. It meant a lot. It meant a lot to hear from somebody who, you know, listens to this podcast. What? I like what we talk about. I think I would listen to us if I wasn't on it. I don't listen to that many podcasts, to be quite honest.
But. I mean, they are. I listen to a fair number, but I'm not sure. I don't know if I would listen to us. Probably not. Most of the podcasts I listen to are like people interviewing experts and like talking to experts about things. And so
that's like the exact opposite of what we do.
My point exactly as to why I'm not.
We don't know anything about anything.
Yeah, we don't talk to anyone else really.
Who know absolutely what was the tagline for a while? Three guys who know absolutely everything about absolutely nothing about absolutely everything.
Absolutely everything. Yeah.
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 Ignorant and uniformed.
That's right. We all dress the same and we have a soft spot for the Moonanites.
Ignignot was his name.
I believe you were correct. Yes.
An Ignignot.
I believe are correct. Have you been...
Let me call your name. Please answer which we will take as shorthand to mean, here I am, rock you like a hurricane.
I know that your free time is precious and limited. Have you been... are you guys watching anything? Or...
I'm rewatching Avatar The Last Airbender, the animated series.
Okay, yeah, that's actually...
Go ahead.
No,
I was going to say, I tried to do the live action one. And all it did was make me miss the animated one.
Oh, interesting. I enjoyed the live action one.
You've enjoyed it?
I have.
Is that what you said?
Yes. Oh.
I liked it. I mean, I started watching it a couple of weeks ago and I got like two or three in. And then I was like, this just feels it felt very rushed to me. And I appreciated the pacing of the original.
Hmm.
But they obviously had 20 episodes, you know, in a season to tell the story.
Sure.
And there were a lot of, you know, slow grow developments and it looks way better than the other live action film.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're doing it. I like a lot of the actors they have in it.
Yeah.
So that's been fun.
Can you think of a more compelling character arc than Zuko's in the last 20 years?
Probably Walter White pops to mind.
Okay.
From Breaking Bad and maybe even more so Jesse Pinkman.
Okay.
Which is, he's sort of the, I mean, you know, in all, it's the reverse hero arc, right? Like it is a man's, Walter White is a descent into villainy. He becomes a villain.
Sure.
You know, so in that way, he is not certainly the protagonist of that series. If anything, he's the antagonist.
Yeah.
But, and Jesse Pinkman is sort of the anti-hero character, I think, in that.
Okay. No, like no one else.
He's an anti-hero protagonist, but.
Yeah. No one else that I've asked that question to has been able to come up with even like a different. With an example. Oh. And so like hearing those two, I appreciate that. No, those were both very good character arcs that involved a significant amount of change.
And I would say, yes.
Go ahead.
Continue. I was going to say they had 6 years, 6 seasons to develop those characters. What they did in 4 with Avatar.
Three.
I would three. Oh, right. Yeah. It's just the first 3 books. And they had part four or part book three was part one and part two, but there was a break in the middle of it or something. I don't remember exactly how they did it, but for some reason, but I mean, like, it's just excellent storytelling. It's the way they told that story was as good as anything that's been produced in, like, as you said, decades. Like, it's as good as Breaking Bad.
The pacing
in my,
mm-hmm. I think was good with like the way, and like, that's one thing where the live action suffers, right? Like less time with episodes. And then also like with world, but like so much of the world building was done in the animated series tangentially and just by like showing their episodic adventures, which like, okay, we're talking different mediums, right? You're in like animated versus live action. Mm-hmm. And like, there are constraints out of necessity and changes between those two mediums. But I think those are the two trickiest parts.
Yeah. And I mean, and they've, I'm hoping that they can fix that. Maybe they can take their time a little bit more because obviously, you know, with a Netflix show, you don't get signed on you don't get signed on for multiple years. That's just the way they work because, I mean, you know, it's
two and three were, but
they were. And now what I'm saying is like, now that they've made series one, book one, maybe they can take their time now that they know they have the runway to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think that's something they can fix. You know what I mean? And it's something that even book two improved upon, the animated series improved upon from book one. The storytelling only gets better. So I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've watched it.
I'll watch it, but it just made me, I was like, I want to watch the animated one and then I'll go back to the live action.
Oh, I got you. Oh, so you stopped the live action at like episode three and you were like, you know what? I'm just going to watch. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go back and watch the animated series because I just keep thinking about the animated series. And I'm like, why am I not doing that?
Yeah, no, that was one that like, shout out Spencer. Cause that's where I had heard, like, I would have never known about that series had it not been for him. In those Borders days.
Oh, wild. Yeah. No, that was, that's pretty interesting.
I mean, like, when did it come out originally?
Like, man, 2007, 2008, maybe?
Yeah. So, like, dude, I was like properly in my mid 20s, like, and had no idea what was going on in Nickelodeon.
Right. Exactly. Like, who? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching it a little bit, hearing about it in like end of college days. And then I think I really didn't start watching it until I was living in New York. And I think, I think I got the DVD of something. And then, and that was about it. So. But then I got, I think I ended up getting some of it on DVD or I rented it or something. And I, back when you could rent videos and they had the DVD collection. No, I still have the DVDs of it.
Mm, nice.
Not the Blu-ray. I don't think they did a Blu-ray, but, that's been pretty cool. So I've enjoyed watching. It holds up, man. I'm just saying there's certain things that just hold up over time. And that series for me, like I was even in season one, like early animation versions of this. I mean, like I was hooked and it holds up, and watching the animated one, I was like, man, this is so good. And I just binged like most of the first book, like in 3 days.
Yeah.
Got to the battle at the North Pole. And I was like, ah, fuck yeah, this is good.
Nice, dude. Nice. Oh, that's good. So then we should bring this up next time you're filming, because Will had a very specific question that Tony couldn't answer, and I certainly didn't have to, about Aang in the Battle of the North Pole in the animated series. So if that stuff is fresh to your memory.
It is. I will ask Will about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Well, we're at time, so we can sign off, and I'm going to eat my chips.
Yeah. And eat them loud. Eat them loud and proud. Yeah, eat
so loud. Thanks, Max, for doing this. I'm glad we made some time to get some podcasts in the bank, brother.
Yeah, man. Likewise. Appreciate you.
And Jeff, we missed you. Glad, I know you don't listen, but we missed you, Jeff. But we'll hopefully have Jeff back in the saddle next time, and we'll if you have any topics you want us to talk about that we are not experts on, which is pretty much everything, you can send us an email to ignorantuninformed@gmail.com, or you can reach out on the Twitters or the Facebooks or whatever. Just email us. That's the best way to do it. We're old. We don't have time for socials. We barely have time for any socials at all. But we're going to be back next week with a brand new Epidose. So thanks again to Max Sorakistan Sorak.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Yeah. It's going solo for both of these episodes. It's
been, for a minute. It's
crazy. Yeah, for a minute. We'll see you next week with a brand new Epidose. Peace out.
Cool, man.